When I was about 12 years old, on Christmas morning, I walked into the living room and there was the tree and there were all the packaged up gifts. But usually there would be a gift or two that was not wrapped, and I guess that was supposed to be from Santa Claus. Well, this year, my sister received a bicycle sitting there in the living room, and laying on top of a hand-crocheted Afghan was a 22-gauge single-shot rifle. I didn't realize until many years later all that those two particular gifts meant. But obviously, my mother had put a lot of effort and time and love into crocheting that Afghan for me. And that 22-gauge single-shot rifle meant that my father trusted me to carry a gun into the woods. And now that I am a father, that means a lot more. Sometimes I don't feel like trusting my boys with a dull knife. And here I was receiving this shotgun. This rifle. Have you ever experienced something, or have you ever participated in something, or have you ever received a gift that, as the years went by, the meaning in that gift or that experience grew? And you know much more about what that cost someone that gave it to you, or what that meant for the time that they spent with you, or whatever it may have been. You understand it much better now. Well, baptism is very much like that. Most of us who are baptized believers were baptized early on in our Christian life. We were fairly new Christians when we were baptized. And since that time, we have grown in the Lord and in our relationship with Him. And we have grown in our understanding of our own salvation. And we have grown in our understanding of what our baptism means. So that, even if you were baptized 50 years ago, it should mean more to you today than it did on the day of your baptism. Today, I intend to explain the meaning of baptism in four basic points. So number one, actually there's a handout in your bulletin that has all of these listed on it. That way, if you want to add a thought or two in some of the spaces, you can. But I hope that even as you may in the future need to explain baptism to someone, you can hang on to these notes and it'll give you a way of explaining it to a child, to a grandchild, to a friend, a relative, or a neighbor, so that they can understand what baptism means. Number one, Christian baptism is a statement of faith in Christ. Christian baptism is a statement of faith in Christ. Throughout the New Testament, the presentation of the good news that Jesus had died for our sins always calls for a response. If there was ever a story in all of the history of mankind where, when the story is told, there is an implied invitation, it is that story. Jesus has died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. And the natural implied invitation is, come to Him because He died for your sins. And if He died for your sins, you need to believe this story. You need to respond to this story. You need to love this one who has died in your place. So when Peter was preaching, for example, in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, he proclaimed Jesus' death and His burial and His resurrection. He explained to these Jewish listeners how Jesus fulfilled all the ancient Hebrew prophecies. He proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah, this anointed and expected Savior of the world. And what was the response that Peter called for in this book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, when they heard this, what I've just summarized, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What did Peter say to them? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Skipping down a little bit, he closes with this sentence. The history closes. So those who received his word, the sermon, there of Peter, those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So in the book of Acts, when the apostles and other preachers spoke up the gospel, when they told the story, they did not say, "Repent and come down the aisle. Repent and sign on a card. Repent and pray a certain prayer with these words." What they basically said and what they consistently said was something like this: "Repent of your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ has died so that your sins can be forgiven and washed away. And also be baptized." That is what Peter said on that day, and that is what the apostles consistently said. This fact that our baptism, our going down into the water and coming back up, that action carried out by the people of God again and again and again and again, it is a statement: I believe in Jesus. I'm not trusting in anything else for the forgiveness of my sins. I am dependent upon Jesus' blood for the washing away of my sins. That is action, is a statement of faith in Jesus Christ. And that is very clearly seen in John the Baptist's business of baptizing people. I don't really know if I fully understand John the Baptist and his baptism, and I have wondered about it. I've scratched my head and been curious about John the Baptist many, many times. But this week, I think I've grown a little bit in my understanding of what's going on. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, say something like this: "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then skipping several verses: "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Now, John Piper, in his message concerning this, said that it's hard for us to understand how radical this was for the Jewish culture in which John the Baptist preached and in which these baptisms took place. These Jewish people going out and being dipped into the Jordan River was just an amazing, radical departure from what they consistently normally would have done. John the Baptist and Jesus and the other apostles and Judea here and all throughout Palestine there, the Jews of that day believed that if you as a man were circumcised, that was a sign of the covenant, and you were a part of God's people. And if you as a woman were a daughter of Abraham, in other words, if you were ethnically Jewish, then you were in. You were already a part of God's people. It was just a matter of the covenant. That was their tradition. That was their understanding. And of course, they believed that those things were based upon God's good, gracious choice of the nation of Israel so many thousands of years before. But nevertheless, when these folks showed up at the river and confessed their sins and went down underneath the water, they were making a radical departure from that sort of traditional way of thinking. What they were saying was, it doesn't matter if I'm a circumcised Jewish male. It doesn't matter if I am a daughter of Abraham. What matters is the mercy of God. And if I confess my sins and depend upon Him, God will include me in His family. That's what they were saying. Now that's different than I'm ethnically Jewish, right? Okay, and so no wonder the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders got really mad, because this is kind of new theology for them. But essentially, when we are baptized, what we are saying, my friends, is simply this: I'm not depending on anything else. Now, none of us would be dependent upon being Jewish anyway, as far as I know, at least maybe some of us are of Jewish descent, but generally speaking, we're not, and we wouldn't be dependent upon that, but sometimes we're tempted to be dependent upon our traditions. We're tempted to be dependent upon our good works. We're tempted to be dependent on, I grew up in a Christian home and in a good family, and I live a decent life, but my friends, what baptism says is, no, I'm not depending on any of that anymore. I am depending upon Jesus only. And the mercy of God demonstrated in Him It's a change of dependence. That's what baptism represents. Now, that's how John the Baptist's baptism is kind of a precursor of our baptism. But there's a little difference also, and I just want to mention that. More meaning is added. Our baptism, of course, means more than the baptism of John the Baptist, and that's some of what I'm going to share with you now. So first of all, number one, Christian baptism is a statement of our faith in Jesus Christ. But number two, Christian baptism is a commitment to follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. One thing that we need to remember is that obviously baptism is instituted and intended to be a rite of initiation for Christ's followers and for Christ's disciples. When Jesus instituted baptism in what we often call the Great Commission, you remember Matthew chapter 28, baptism appears right as the immediate response to becoming a disciple and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a way to take a concrete step of obedience to demonstrate our heart's commitment. Read with me Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And after they become disciples, what do we do immediately? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Do you see how these verses talk about commitment to follow Christ? Baptism is actually sandwiched in between believing and becoming a disciple and learning to do everything that God Christ has commanded. Right in the middle there is baptism, which is a symbolic step of obedience to say, not only am I obeying Jesus in baptism, I plan to live a life of obedience to Him. I am committing to Him. Baptism also, and we'll get to this in just a moment, baptism tells the story, doesn't it, of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when we are baptized in obedience to His command, our baptism, listen to this, is our way of saying that we believe that Jesus' story not only affects all of human history, but it, in its own way, becomes our story. You see, our story, left to ourselves, is a story of sin and powerlessness against the devil. But Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has rewritten our history, so to speak. And His story meshes with my story and changes my history because my sins have been erased, and it changes my destiny because I am now headed to heaven to be with Him and to not be in hell. None of that has any value if our baptism does not say to the world, I want to follow, obey, and live for Jesus. Maybe a story that could illustrate this a little bit is the story of the city of Leningrad in Russia in World War Number Two. Actually, there was such horrible conditions there that nearly 1 million people perished, either from the Nazi invasion or from starvation in that one Russian city. At one point, as they were trying to save the lives of the children of the city of Leningrad, they loaded these children up onto truck after truck after truck, and they sent them out across a frozen lake to try to take them to a safer place where they could have some basic food and they could be further away from the Nazi invasion. And as the mothers loaded their own children onto these trucks, they called out to them and they said to their children, "Remember your name." They never expected, very possibly, to ever see their children again. And what did they say to them? "Remember your name. Remember your name," because they feared that the children would forget who they were. They would forget their first and their last name. And my friends, our baptism, that concrete physical action of going down underneath the water in representation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is our way of, as it were, remembering our name, as it were, shouting our name. I am Christ's. I am a Christian, and I belong to Him and to Him alone. So number one, Christian baptism is a public statement of our dependence upon Jesus Christ. And number two, it is a public commitment to follow Him and to obey Him. Number three, Christian baptism is a beautiful symbol of our salvation. Christian baptism is a beautiful, wonderful symbol of baptism. My friends, some people have said that baptism is a little bit like a wedding ring. The wedding ring is not what makes you married to someone. As couples, you know that. Maybe your wedding ring has been lost. But the wedding ring does represent a variety of symbols for love and commitment in marriage. And in the same way, baptism is not what saves us, but it is a beautiful symbol of many of the truths in our salvation. First of all, Christian baptism symbolizes our union with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 speaks of these truths, and Colossians also. But first of all, Romans 6 verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were what? Baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Very similar, of course, to the words that I actually say when I baptize someone. Verse number 5 finally says, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. So do you see how he starts that passage of Scripture saying that we have been baptized into His death? And then he ends it by saying the same thing in different words, where he says, we have been united to His death, and we have also been united to His resurrection. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 and 14 say, having been buried with Him, same picture again, in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to His cross. Possibly the most glorious truth in your salvation and in mine, my friends, is this, that when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father unites us to Him. We are vitally, we are, as it were, legally before God. We are united to Him, to Jesus Christ. Often in the New Testament, when you see the phrase, in Christ Jesus, that's what it's talking about. God, in His wonderful grace, unites us. It's as if He ties our history and our destiny and our standing relationship before Him to Jesus when we trusted Him. It is as if God is so happy that you or I have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He connects us to His Son spiritually. Our history is wrapped up in His glorious history, and ultimately we will be with Him in heaven. We are united to Him. That is essentially what Paul is saying when he talks about us being baptized into His death. It is as if we have been plunged, dunked into the death of Jesus Christ, because His death on the cross now has meaning for me. And it is as if we have been plunged into the reality of Christ's resurrection to such a degree that His life becomes our life and His victorious resurrection becomes our own victory over sin. You know, they tell a story, some missionaries tell the story about when the gospel was first brought to the island of Barbados. And several people accepted the invitation to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized. But when these baptismal candidates arrived at the river for baptism, the women showed up in their nightgowns and the men showed up in their pajamas. And the missionary said, no, go back home. I don't think you understand what's going on here. You're going to be baptized in this water and you need regular clothes on. And they said, we refuse. And so the missionaries decided, well, we'll go through with this time, but we're going to make sure this never happens again. And so they baptized this number of candidates, and in between the first baptism and the next time they did another baptism, these same missionaries attended a funeral. And when they got up there to the casket, the deceased was dressed in the pajamas. And they said, "What does this mean?" And they said, "Well, when, you know, our basic tradition is that when somebody dies, they go to sleep, so we bury them in their pajamas. And you explain to us that baptism is a symbol that we have died with Christ. And if we've died with Christ, we need to be baptized in our pajamas." And as silly and as funny as that sounds, that's the truth. When we go underneath that water, it is a symbol that we have died with Christ, that we have been buried with Him. And maybe because we would normally be buried in a suit, we should baptize people in a suit, I don't know. But as a reminder to these dear folks, they were baptized in the same clothes they expected to be buried in, because they were saying, "Jesus' cross, Jesus' death is my death to myself and to my old way of living and to my sin, and now I'm alive in Him." Baptism is a perfect picture of this amazing New Testament mystery that we are united to Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Another thing that Christian baptism symbolizes is it symbolizes our cleansing from sin. Think about it. The Jewish culture in which baptism was introduced, that Jesus and John the Baptist and others grew up in, would have never missed the symbolism of water. Obviously, what do we use water for? It is the ancient cleanser of all things, right? We use water to wash with. Everything from the basin in the temple, where the priests washed their hands, to the laws that they had about pots and pans and plates and cups being washed, pointed to the fact that water speaks of cleansing. And when Saul was on the road to Tarsus and he met Jesus Christ and he was converted gloriously, amazingly, believed in Jesus as his own Savior and Messiah, God sent to him Ananias. And Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22, "Now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Now, obviously, baptism doesn't wash anything away except maybe a little bit of physical dirt. The physical act of baptism doesn't wash anything away, but it is perfect symbolism for the fact that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, His blood, as it were, cleanses us from every single stain. A beautiful picture. Another thing that Christian baptism symbolizes is it symbolizes our passing through God's judgment in safety because of Jesus. Several places in the New Testament that speak about baptism speak about how it is compared to something in the Old Testament story. It is compared to the Israelites passing through the Red Sea. It is compared to circumcision, and it is compared to Noah's flood. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, God actually says that our baptism corresponds to Noah's flood. Here is what it says. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few," that is, eight persons, "were brought safely through the water." Do you see that? Brought safely through the water. Now, you know, Peter kind of goes from one thing to the other. He's kind of bouncing all over the place here in chapter 3. And he says, you know, Jesus has saved us from our sins, and Jesus apparently went back in the Spirit to preach to some people during Noah's time. And while he's talking about Noah, let's just remember that eight people were saved as they passed through the waters. They were brought safely through the waters. Verse 21, baptism, your baptism, my baptism, corresponds to this. And it now saves you, not as the removal of dirt. In other words, the physical business of going under the water is not what saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see how in the Old Testament, oftentimes the waters represented God's judgment? Think about it. In the days of Noah, the water represented God's judgment. It drowned people who did not believe in God. Okay. Also think about this. At the Red Sea, when the Israelite nation is passing through on dry ground, what happened to the Egyptian army? They were judged by God in the water. They drowned. And my friends, you and I face the absolute possibility, the dire risk that we will be drowned in God's judgment on our sins. Not physically drowned, but that God's judgment would overcome us. We deserve for God to damn us to hell in just judgment because of our evil and our sins. But in Christ Jesus, we can go into the waters of God's judgment and come through the outside, the other side, unscathed, undrowned, if that is such a word. Because of Jesus Christ. That's a picture in baptism. Listen to me. You go under the water and you come back out again as a picture of in Jesus Christ. My friends, God's judgment passes over us. So my friends, baptism is this statement of faith. It is a commitment to follow. It is a beautiful symbol. And number four, baptism is obedience. Baptism, plain and simple, is obedience. Finally, we just need to remember that Jesus told us to baptize converts, told us to baptize new disciples, told us to be baptized through his apostles again and again and again in the book of Acts. If you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins, what do the apostles say? Believe and be baptized. Repent and be baptized again and again. Again, Matthew chapter 28, we've read it once before. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the priority is to make disciples of all nations, but to immediately follow up that baptism, that belief with a baptism. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you are trusting in Him for a right relationship with God, if you are a follower of the Lord and you've never been baptized, my friends, you need to simply obey His command. In the New Testament, there was no such thing as an unbaptized believer. That was the way that you said to the world, I believe in Jesus. That's just the way you did it. And so for you to say, oh yeah, I trust in Jesus, I trust in God, but to rebelliously refuse. Now, if you just didn't know that you were supposed to be baptized, well, that's one thing. But to just say, well, I'm not going to do it, is to say, I reject Jesus, almost. It is that tightly connected. Now, how can you take these truths and apply them to your life? First of all, if you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and are trusting Him, if God has changed your life and changed your heart, and you've yet never been baptized, my friends, what are you waiting for? Follow Him, obey Him, and be baptized. One of the reasons I'm preaching this message is because we have a baptism scheduled for Easter Sunday, March the 23rd. Okay, here's the advertisement part of the sermon. What a great opportunity and what a great time to be baptized on the day when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And if you want to join, we have one that's going to be baptized on that day at this point. And if you want to join that person in being baptized on Easter Sunday, March the 23rd, and you've never been baptized before then, my friend, speak to me afterwards, and I would love to talk with you about putting you in that list and allowing you to be baptized on that day. Maybe you were baptized some years ago and you didn't really know what it meant. My command to you today is rejoice. Rejoice in all the glorious meaning of your baptism. Maybe it was decades ago. but it still means all this. It is your solid, concrete reminder of your commitment to follow Jesus Christ. You cannot go back on that commitment. It is a glorious symbol of your union to Christ. As the hymn writer said, I am His and He is mine. His righteousness is mine. His goodness is mine. His death is mine. His resurrection is mine. Rejoice in the reality that your sins have been washed away. Rejoice in the goodness that you have passed through the judgment of God and it has not harmed you, because you are united to Jesus Christ. My friends, if your baptism was not based on your faith, then it is difficult to see how it could carry this New Testament symbolism. Of course, I realize many of you were baptized as infants, and I love you and rejoice in your fellowship in our congregation. But for your baptism to mean what I believe the Bible says that it should mean, it needs to represent your faith and not necessarily your parents' hope that you would come to Christ in the future. Or possibly, if you were baptized maybe early in your life, like I was baptized at 5 years old, but I wasn't yet a Christian. It was just something that many of my friends were doing, and my parents allowed me to do it. And nevertheless, I believed upon the Lord when I was 11, and then I was genuinely baptized later when I was 12. And so possibly, if you were baptized sometime in the past, and you realize, you know what, I wasn't even a Christian then I would encourage you to follow the Lord and be baptized after you became a disciple of Jesus Christ, according to the Great Commission. Finally, I want to say this. Baptism means something. Baptism means something. Maybe another illustration could help us understand this. Ivan the Great was the Tsar of Russia in the 15th century. And he was quite a military man, but he put marriage off. Finally, his advisor said, you must get married and have a son so that you can have an heir to the throne. A marriage was arranged with the daughter of the king of Greece. And one of the arrangements was that the Tsar of Russia, Ivan the Great, would become Greek Orthodox. And as it turns out, the Greek Orthodox practice baptism the way we do, with its full New Testament symbolism of completely dunking this person in the tank or the river or whatever. And so, Ivan the Great, with 500 fully armed soldiers, heads down to Greece to be baptized. And as it turns out, the soldiers all say, if it's good enough for our king, then we're going to be baptized too. So can you imagine the scene on that day? 500 Orthodox priests walking out into the Mediterranean Sea, and 500 soldiers, Russian soldiers, walking out into the Mediterranean on that day for a mass baptism. There was only one problem. According to the Greek Orthodox, they don't allow soldiers to be baptized. They would have to give up their occupation. Of course, Ivan the Great wasn't going to put up with that, so there was a compromise reached. And when the priests dunked the soldier, he would grab his sword in his fighting hand and hold it up out of the water. And that they did that because they realized, and so these guys were all baptized except for their fighting arm and their sword. And they did that because they realized that baptism means something. Now, maybe what they thought it meant is not what I believe it means, but baptism means something. And we have to ask ourselves, is there something we're holding up out of the water? Is there some area of our life where we are unwilling to live out the truth of our baptism and our commitment to follow Jesus Christ? Is there something that you have excluded from the authority of Jesus? Some sin that you are unwilling to die to, unwilling to surrender to Him? Are there areas of our life where, in essence, we are keeping them outside of our own baptismal waters? Today, Jesus Christ calls us not only to rejoice in, and I mean to rejoice in, the beautiful and glorious meaning of Christian baptism. He calls us to obey. And if you need to be baptized, I say to you, speak to me right after the service. And he calls us to live our lives in the reality of what our baptism means. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please?